You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us. We're looking ahead to the action on Sunday on this edition of the podcast, where we've got racing at the Curragh to focus in on a little bit later on. We've also got racing further afield on Sunday, where we've got action at Goodwood, and we're also racing on Sunday also over in Ireland at Limerick as well. So the Curragh, Limerick and Goodwood will be the three meetings. It'll be Mark Walton joined by Alistair Jones and John O'Connell for all of the day's action. And joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition of the podcast is the aforementioned Mr. Jones. Ali, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Sam.
Good. I think when we last spoke, when we last did a podcast, was some months ago, and you were extolling the virtues of Waldgeist in the Ark to me on that occasion.
Was I?
Yeah, you were, yeah. And you put him up in your weekender piece as well, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Did you back him?
I didn't. No.
Do you still take satisfaction from having tipped him, or do you kick yourself not backing him?
I did kick myself a little, but I don't bet very often anyway, right, to be honest. So, on that Ascot run, 16-1 was a silly price, really, and, you know, you never be scared of one horse, as they say.
Absolutely.
I felt a bit sorry for Enable because I don't think she was at her very best on that ground. But saying that, I don't think neither was the winner. You know, he's a horse that wants better ground. He was just overpriced, and that was it, you know.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, and he's trained by somebody who, you know, Andre Farber, who long had him down as a likely Ark contender, and if he thinks that, then who are we to argue?
Absolutely. And that'll keep you writing in the weekend for a little while, won't it? Fingers crossed.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Keep the wolf from the door.
Yes, exactly, as it were. We'll speak about Saturday, first of all, before we move on to some of Sunday's action. Obviously, with the Dewhurst and the Cesarewitch, the real headline acts on the Newmarket card on Saturday. Let's start with the Dewhurst. Everybody was, you know, looking forward to crowning a new superstar in the shape of Pinatubo, who did win, extended his winning sequence to 6 from 6, beat Arizona into second, and Wichita was back in third in the Dewhurst. A perfect 6 from 6 now for Pinatubo, but I suppose given the devastating nature that he won the national stakes in over in Ireland, some might be not underwhelmed by his Dewhurst win today, because that's harsh, because he's gone and won his race, but he was breathtaking last time out and it wasn't quite like that today.
No, it wasn't. You know, we were sort of talking before the race, really. When a horse produces a performance like he did at the Curragh, not often do they back it up.
Yes.
When they produce such a mesmeric effort. And I thought today, you know, I wouldn't have backed him at 1-3. I couldn't, you know, I wanted to be on Wichita each way at 9-2, as he was earlier in the week. Because of that concern, he was unproven on the ground, unproven on the track. Not all horses act on the rally mile. And that fact that he ran such a mighty race at the Curragh, to come out and do it again was always a bit of a concern. I was really taken by him at Newmarket as I was at the Curragh, in a different kind of way.
Okay.
Because he was caught wide, which is notoriously the slower ground on the rally mile, where you want to be next to the rail. And he's shown real battling qualities to win as well. In the front, to have pulled a long way clear. He actually quickened quite well on that ground to actually, you know, put the race to bed. I just thought it was a really taking performance. You know, whether he'll win the Guineas next year, God knows. You know, state of the world next May. But to win a Dewhurst on the back of such a wonderful performance that he produced in the national stakes, I thought was highly taken. And I don't think it could have been a lot more impressive, to be honest, given the conditions.
Not dissimilar, I suppose, to Quadrilateral on Friday, because she didn't go and spread eagle the field.
No.
But as you say, you were taken by the performance for different reasons.
Absolutely,
showing a resolution.
Yeah, and they went a good pace in the Dewhurst as well. You know, Ballydore were adamant that they were going to really make it a test to nullify his turn of foot, and yet he's still come out and won going away in the end. So full marks to him.
Yeah,
I think if anything he's enhanced his reputation to me in the Dewhurst.
We're constantly looking ahead in this game. As you mentioned, obviously, the Guineas is the target next year, and this whole incredible two-year-old season that Pinatubo's had, every race he's had, it's all the talk's been about next year and what he's going to be like as a three-year-old. In your mind, is there any reason why he wouldn't continue this onto his three-year-old campaign? Obviously, we'll have to see how he strengthens up over the winter, etc., etc. But yeah, is there any reason why he won't carry on like this next year?
Not really. It just depends on what's lurking amongst, you know, lurking under the floorboards, yeah, if you like. You know, what's going to come out. I mean, he's had a lot of racing as a juvenile, but that seems to be the way these days. You know, like back in, you know, Vincent O'Brien used to win the Dewhurst with the horse that had won a Tipperary maiden. Yeah, you know, and then, you know, to come out, you know, running the guineas, sort of having had two or three races. That's not the way they do it this year. They get them battle hardened as juveniles. The obvious concern would be, I mean, he's a big project for Godolphin, this horse, because they have never ever won the guineas with one of their own trainers. They've had the Silks colour carried to victory by horses trained by Jim Bolger and you know, and whatnot. But even if you go back into I can't think of the horse that Henry Cecil trained in the Godolphin, the Sheikh Mohammed, who won the guineas, Mark of Esteem, of course, who won in the blue colours, but he was trained as a juvenile by Henry Cecil. So they've never actually won it with a horse that they've brought through the ranks. So Pinatubo, you know, Charlie Appleby will definitely be feeling the pressure, and we don't know as yet whether he's going to be sent to Dubai for the winter or kept at Newmarket. So all these are imponderables.
Yeah, a very, very big couple of years coming up for Godolphin as regards the breeding side of the operation. Not just Pinatubo, Earthlight, Victor Ludorum as well.
Yeah,
they've got, you know,
strength in depth.
Yeah, some very exciting juveniles. But as we know, for breeding purposes, if they're to achieve the maximum at stud, they need to do it again next year.
Absolutely, yeah. And they've been forking out the dough at the sales this week as well.
Unbelievable, hasn't it?
Beyond belief.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
It really is.
Some of the money that's changing hands. But Godolphin, it's, you know, a strong Godolphin is good for the game, you know, and offers some resistance to Coolmore,
you know.
That's what we want.
Yeah.
So, good for them.
Yeah. A duopoly is better than a monopoly, isn't it?
That's absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk to Cesaro, which as well, always a fascinating puzzle to try and solve. You know, fans of big field handicaps are always in their element with this race. 30 runners, 2.25 miles. This year's renewal won by Stratum at 25-1. Beat Party Playboy at 50-1. Summer Moon was third at 50-1. And Not So Sleepy, fourth at 33-1. The play spot will pay an absolute packet today for anyone who has managed to get through. And Stratum, a horse who kind of came into the Cesarewitch off the back of, well, off the back of a win at a short price. But his runs prior to that had been pretty disappointing compared to the horse that we thought he might turn into a year or so ago. But another fabulous training performance from Willie Mullins, and you fancy the owner had a bit of a say in the placing and the training of this horse. He's one of the shrewdest in the game, isn't he?
He is. I know he was backed at the close to the off, but this wasn't a typical Tony Bloom plot job.
No, I suppose not, because they don't go 25-1.
Well, they don't, and you know, this horse is so hard to predict. I don't think even he's not a miracle worker.
Yeah, true.
You know, he's beaten it. I know he won his last flat race at Killarney, but which was an egg and spoon race, essentially.
Yes, it was,
but he got beat at 1-4 at Listowel last time over hurdles, and that's this horse all over, really. You don't know what to expect, and it's typical of him to come. I mean, he was tailed off in this 12 months ago.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think whether he was fancied back then. Yeah, he was 6-1 for last year's Cesarewitch, and it's your typical stratum to come out and win it this year at 25s. I don't think it was a master plan.
Right, okay.
I really don't. And like you said, you know, this horse wouldn't have been 25s if it'd been, if they'd really, really fancied the pants off him.
The cat eventually ends up out of the bag, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If they, you know,
absolutely.
As much as you try and keep it in house if they fancy one.
And I think, you know, he was, I don't know what he was this morning. If he was back before the off, then I take it he was 33s or something.
Yes.
And he's that kind of horse that he's probably, you'd rather be backing him at 33s than you would at even money around Killarney, you know.
Yeah.
But it was a funny race. I mean, Gollum, you know, they've gone, we've only watched it the once, so I don't know if they've gone too fast or too slow, but a couple of horses sort of, you know, Land of Ars, he was well fancied, he sort of pulled his way to the front four out. You got the impression that he took the jockey there as opposed to it being some tactical manoeuvre. He was dead and buried, you know, a long way out, as were some other leading fancies. I mean, Ranch Hand was very well backed, but it was just too tough an assignment, too early in that horse's career, I think. Notoriously, you know, the Cesaro, which is won by battle-hardened horses, you know, dual-purpose performers, if you like. So Stratum did fit the bill in that respect. But he's not a horse that I could have hung my hat on, if you like.
No, there'll be quite a few in that camp prior to the Cesarewic today. On to Sunday's racing, then we're going to take a look at a couple from the Curra, which is the probably the best meeting of the three on Sunday. A couple of listed races on the programme. We look at one of those first of all, the 3:15, which is over six furlongs, listed race for three-year-olds and upwards. No betting on this at the time of recording. What's the thoughts on this one, Alan?
Well, I guess the race largely revolves around Flight Risk, who is the highest rated of these. And if he puts his best foot forward, you would think he would win. But he is an eight-year-old. He's had a lot of racing. I like number four, Make a Challenge, who has been stunningly progressive, this horse, from the start of the season. I mean, he's won five out of his last seven. When he won at the Curra last time, it was a big field sprint handicap. I just thought he was over handicapped. You know, the handicapper would have had his measure. But he if you watch this race, the ease with which he's won beggars belief. Most sprints of that nature are sort of won late on, you know, a furlong out. Or this horse literally had them all cooked, you know, with two furlongs to go. And he just handled the ground so well. The more rain they have, the better on Sunday, you know, for his prospects. Stupidly as it sounds, after he won last time, I actually had a quick look to see what price he was for the champion sprint at Ascot. If they got really bad ground, he wouldn't be completely out of his depth in that, I don't think. He's rated 109, but he's got the potential to rate even higher than that, and I just think he could give Flight Risk something to think about on Sunday.
Make a Challenge, then, the first pick runs in at 3:15. Onto the next race in the car, which is up at 3:50. Again, over six furlongs, but we're dealing with handicappers this time, including the horse that Make a Challenge beat last time out in the shape of Ardumi, who heads the weights.
Yeah, and that was a welcome return to form for that horse. He has got top weight on Sunday, but he could go well. But the one I like is number six, Mary Salome, who is a three-year-old filly. Was really eye-catching at the Curra three starts back. I think she might well have won that day had she not been stopped in her run a couple of times. Then didn't run badly behind Buffer Zone, who didn't run his race in the Air Gold Cup. That was a deep race as well. I just think this horse's turn is very close, and she's another one who will relish the ground on Sunday. It's already soft. There's more rain forecast. If it got really testing, then that would suit this horse. To me, she's just a winner waiting to happen in a race of this nature, and hopefully, you know, her turn will be on Sunday. It is a competitive race. Admittedly, you can make a case for plenty of others, but I think Mary Salome will give you a run for your money.
Mary Salome, then, the choice in that 3:50 race for Alistair goes with the selection of the 3:15, which was Make a Challenge. We've got the Curra, Limerick and Goodwood on the programme on Sunday. You can hear it all live with Alistair in the studio. He'll be alongside John O'Connell once more with Mark Walton steering the ship. Ali, thank you for that, and enjoy it on Sunday.
That's great. Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.